Next item on the agenda is public hearing proposed amendments to Regulation 4, VAC 20-6-20-10, pertaining to summer flounder. Mr. Grist.
Afternoon. First off, Mr. Lane, welcome. And I'm Joe Grist. I'm Senior Manager of Plants and Stats at Fisheries Management, so we're looking forward to working with you.
Thank you.
For you, we have an evaluation on the summer flounder fishery for this coming fall and next winter. We'll just start out. We received a letter from industry from Mr. Mead Amory, from LD Amory, Joey Daniels from Wanchese Fish Company, Wesley McDonald from Chincoteague Fisheries, and Frank McLaughlin of Chesapeake Bay Packing. Mr. Amory presented us this letter a few months back. They were requesting a few changes to the directed flounder fishery. Just so you understand how the directed flounder fishery works currently, has two periods that it opens up for what we call the directed. We start out with basically a bycatch fishery in the 1st of January. It's a 10% by-weight fishery. And this is mostly applied to the offshore fleet. We do have, of the quota that we receive every year, we have a set aside of about 300,000 pounds for the Chesapeake Bay region. So we pull that out, and then what's left we allocate to the offshore fleet. So we start off in January with a 10% bycatch. We go now, after recent actions earlier this year, we go to about the beginning of February. It's the first Monday in February at this point. We open up what's called the directed fishery. The directed fishery in the winter is a vessel that holds an endorsement permit with Virginia, can bring in 12,500 pounds of flounder in any one or two trips over a 10-day period. And we continue that until about 70% of the quota for the year has been caught, and then we close the directed fishery. We go through a bycatch fishery period again, and then in October, at the last Monday of October, we open up, and about 30% of the quota, if it's remaining or less, if we've eaten it up through the bycatch fishery, we open it back up to a directed fishery. And that time, they can only bring in 10,000 pounds per vessel in either a 1 or a 2-day trip. And I say trip, it's in, you can bring it in all at once, you can go out twice in a 10-day period and bring it in, either way, but 10,000 is the limit per vessel. And we keep that going until we reach a point when we're very close, near 100%. At that point, we close it down to a bycatch fishery. If we get real close to 100%, we just shut the fishery down. One of the good things about the flounder fishery commercially is we try to ensure we don't go over quota, and staff puts a lot of time into that. With all that being said, we made some changes earlier, and they came back and bit us a little bit. The letter from industry is requesting the current 10-day landing period be expanded in the winter to 15 days, trying to extend out the season a little bit. They're asking for the winter period to be opened at the last Monday in February. It's currently opening at the first Monday in February. They also want to open up the fall period later. Don't open at the end of October. Open at the beginning of December. They also are asking for the ending of what is the possession limit on vessels. Currently, vessels are limited to bring in only that amount they are allowed to land. So if it's in a 10,000-pound period, that's all they can bring in. You can't have any additional fish on board for another state. Law enforcement will come on board, and they'll check. And once you've landed out your 10,000, they're looking to hold, and they'll check and see if you've got extra flounder hidden away down there. Same thing for the winter period at 12,500. They want these changes because these measures would help maximize the value of the landings while helping decrease costs during a period of much higher fuel prices, which we're all aware of, and increased packing expenses. What compounded the problem this year was the state of North Carolina. We have about 200 endorsement licenses out there for summer flounder, around 225. A couple different factors played in this last year's fishery in the winter. We were only open for 10 days and a half, practically, 10 days and 18 hours. That's very short time period for the directed fishery to have a winter fishery. What happened was two things. One, the scallop industry is having problems, so some of the scallop boats that hold summer endorsement licenses actually participated in the fishery. They haven't done that often. Another problem was North Carolina issued a proclamation prior to us opening that basically said, all right, you can come down here to North Carolina, have double quotas on board. You can have the Carolina quota at 10,000 pounds, and you can have your Virginia quota on board. come on down here, unload your 10,000 pounds of Carolina quota, and just suit on up to Virginia and unload your 12,500 pounds. Makes for kind of an efficient trip for the vessel. Problem is, it flooded the market with flounder, invited more boats who were enticed to come into the market. So we had over around 80-some boats enter in the winter fishery when we usually see about 50 or so. And we ended up with a much poor quality, lower priced fish. Here's a flooded market, poor quality fish coming to Virginia, doesn't do our industry any good at all. Thus, the industry sent the letter in asking for some changes. We took this request to FMAC first, just to run it through. And of course, FMAC agrees, you know, anything it can do to help the industry, they're in support of. And, you know, staff agrees with that. We want to help the industry in this situation. We then also met with law enforcement, though, after the FMAC meeting, so we didn't have the ability to present FMAC with these, with additional comments. And when we presented this to law enforcement, most of the changes were okay except for the possession limit. The possession limit is an enforcement tool. And to take that away, to open it up where our vessels could actually have double quotas on board, land here and then go to Carolina, would present a major problem for them. They make great attempts, and we're on the docks with them with biological staff at the same time, so we witness this. They make great attempts to closely monitor this fishery during the open seasons especially, but we all know they have limited personnel, and it's hard for them to monitor every dock, every vessel while the season is open. There is a limited time when vessels are able to unload, and that is between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. that is set up in regulation, but still, it's a limited staff trying to encompass 4 to 5 dealers, all the vessels. It comes of over problem for law enforcement to keep track of everything, and they definitely want to make sure nobody does cheat the system in any way, and we have more flounder brought in than should be here in Virginia. They also said there's another major issue. They explained to us in a staff meeting that currently it's extremely difficult for them to actually produce a conviction when they have an overage. For cases involving vessel overages in the directed fishery, as well as most other fisheries, because seafood buyers are not required to have certified scales for measuring seafood catches accurately, they're losing cases in court. They said any cases based on measurements produced by the seafood buyer usually end with case dismissals. So a lot of effort goes forward and then they end up with dismissals. This is a significant issue to the staff on many levels, but this has led staff to recommend against the possession limit changes. Keep it as it is with the limits, meaning the possession limit is how much your vessel is able to bring in. There was also a recommendation to have a 5-day period where they couldn't land within a period. So you can come in, land today, and show up 2 days later, 3 days later, and land again, and double up, let's say, if you're coming in at the end of the 10-day period and show up at the beginning of the next one, and kind of flood us in that way. But we don't see the need for that provision at this point either. If we don't change the possession limit under staff recommendation, there's no need for the additional measures. We have received 5 public comments to date. Mr. Joey Daniels at Wanchese Fish Company and James Fletcher with United National Fishermen Association wrote in support of any action that will result in the saving of fuel and greater economic benefit. Captains James Craddock of the Fishing Vessel, Captain Ralph, Brian Daniels of the Joyce D, and William Calloway of the Sea Venture all wrote in support of 10-day periods, though, not the 15s, and they'd actually like to see the trip limits dropped from the 10,000, the 12,500, down to 7,500. Staff is prepared to talk on many issues here, but right on the first recommendation, we recommend approval of amendments to Sections 30 and 40 that would just delay the opening of the fall directed fishery until the first Monday in December, delay opening the winter directed commercial fishery until the last Monday in February, and extend the 10-day landing period in the winter to 15 days from the current 10. And this item has been advertised for public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Grist. Any questions of Joe from members of the commission? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joe, just a couple of questions about the law enforcement concerns that have been raised. I mean, obviously, FMAC supported this. This originally appeared to have staff support when we discussed it last time. But Is that primarily a reflection of limited resources and being able to monitor landings at the
dockside? It's a combination of both. That both limited resources, but also, as they've very clearly pointed out to staff, the issue of even if they have a case where they find an overage, they can't win the case due to lack of certified scales. And that is a problem that we recognize very clearly now on our side. And, you know, we have prepared language involving certified scales. If the commission would like to entertain that, to talk about on the issue. But it's, you know, commission's pleasure on this.
Well, if we satisfy the certified scale issue, would you be able to support the open limit, or is it still a matter of limited resources?
I believe it would still be a matter of limited resources at this time.
But I would think from agency head's perspective, it would certainly be a lot more possible and plausible. I mean, let's be real. There was a time when I was chief of law enforcement that we were, as a matter of fact, deputy chief, we were suffering some significant overages in Virginia, and we basically managed every box of flounder that came off of every boat. I mean, it was weighed, it was tallied, it was, and we wanted to get away from that. This situation, I don't believe, is a situation where law enforcement is suspicious, or it's one of those things of cops and robbers or things like that. It's a definite responsibility of the law enforcement division to ensure that this quota is managed in a manner consistent with what the mandate of the commission and other entities are. That's where we are. It's not one of those things where we're trying to, well, I'm putting the law enforcement hat on, where we're trying to be an impediment to the industry. The certified scales thing is very concerning to me in and of itself, and I do want some discussion on that as far as a possible emergency regulation, because just for the consumer and for those involved in the trade, I think it's very important that a certified scale be there to weigh the product so that all involved are treated fairly. As to the possession aspect of it, I'll leave it up to the commission to debate. And I've stayed out of the debate as it's come up through the chain. It's real difficult to catch every crook, and if you're going to cheat the system, you're going to cheat the system. I've always been a fan of those that were going to cheat the system. What we'll do is we're not going to keep everybody after school right off of the bat because of what somebody might have done. But when you catch little Johnny Rotten out there, you take care of him the way that you should take care of him. That's kind of my philosophy, but anyway. Certified scales, you want to just give a little briefing on that?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Staff, in the last week, since being law enforcement, looked into the whole issue of certified scales. And first thing to note is law enforcement actually had already been working toward getting certification. Numerous officers on the force have been working toward getting Waymaster certifications. They're near completion of that issue now. I believe it'll be by December. They'll have some members already completed. We also talked with the Department of Agriculture, their weight and measures group that operates all the certified scales, same ones that go out and deal with the gas pumps and everything else out there. You see the little stickers on, looking for anything in code that would prevent or, you know, not have the seafood industry involved. And there's nothing in code, and they actually kind of welcomed it. They said, when we presented to them, well, we have all these dealers out here. How preventative is to start up such a system for them? They said it's actually quite easy, because what you do is you contact the department and call in, and they have contractors that will come out and certify your scale, and then they'll be put on a rotational basis to have it checked frequently so it's maintained. They actually will certify it, seal the scale, and then they'll do a rotation on it. But they have a large number of contractors that they use in this process, and they didn't see it as, from their standpoint, as being an impediment to a large number of certifications that they already do. So that was a positive note from their department. We spent quite a bit of time talking with them. We do have a draft regulation prepared for viewing, if you would like to see it, sir.
I'd also like to hear, Colonel Waterman here, you here, Colonel, for law enforcement. I'd like to hear your comments on what's been said. Do you want to make any comment now, or do you want to wait until after the public hearing to comment, or what would you like to do? All right, that'll be fine.
Can we,
at the marina use it for our fuel pumps, and it's, you know, they just come by and check it out and put a sticker on and go. It's
free, I think a lot easy. Of people were under the presumption that that they were being done anyway, but I think the law, correct me if I'm wrong, Carl or Joe, as the law says that if you're dealing with retail, you have to use a certified scale, but if you're dealing in a wholesale trade, you don't. Is that the loophole?
That's my understanding.
You're not required to.
It's not required to. Yeah.
Basically, if we go through this in quick detail, you'll see a draft regulation 1170. Basically, any person, business corporation that's licensed to purchase fish, shellfish, or marine organisms from a catcher, as required in the code, or who is engaged in transfer, offloading, or purchasing from a catcher of such items, that they are to be regulated, that are regulated by harvest weight. So we're talking about basically this pertaining to our regulations, not just flounder, spiny dogfish, weakfish, anything's regulated by weight, this would impact now. There have been cases, as I noted earlier, not just including flounder, that we've lost based on the issue of not having certified scale outside of the flounder realm that we're talking about today. Scales would have to be, the scale used by the purchaser must be certified as accurate by the Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. The purchaser representing the person, a business, or corporation shall sign a receipt provided to the catcher and shall attest thereon that the weight was determined by use of a scale that was certified by the Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. So this would be a draft regulation either for emergency or for other consideration.
Does it need to be an emergency at this?
Depends if you feel it meets the regulation bound. We've drafted it as an emergency. If the flounder season was to open at the end of October, it would definitely be nice to have this in place to help law enforcement out.
At the end of October?
If it were to open at the end of October and the last Monday, if the regulation were to stay as is right now and not change.
What's commission day in October?
October 28th, and you'll see I've scratched through on the item for implementation on October 1st if it was an emergency action.
But at the same time, we could hold a public hearing and adopt it under normal circumstances and still be in effect for the opening day of flounder season, correct?
Opening day of flounder season would be the day before.
Would be the day before?
Yeah, the 27th.
Okay. Mr. Robbins.
If we don't change it.
I think staff and law enforcement have raised an appropriate concern in that this has been a difficulty for law enforcement in that they've had trouble with court cases because weights weren't measured on certified scales. But I'd be hesitant to pass this on an emergency basis, realizing that it may take time for dealers who don't have certified scales to come into compliance with this. So I would think the more appropriate action would be through the normal rulemaking procedure, let this go out to public comment, and consider it for the October meeting.
Is that a motion?
I would offer a motion that we consider it for the October meeting.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Put it to public hearing, October meeting. Now, let's return to the public hearing aspect of the trip limit and possession limit.
Okay. We've made our recommendation. It has been advertised, so it's open.
This is a public hearing. Who'd like to be heard on the matter? Mr. Amory. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you. So we're not talking about scales, certified scales?
Not at this point. Public hearing's next month.
Say your full name.
I'm sorry. Mead Amory with Amory Seafood. So we're just talking about the flounder issue and the quota and the landing. And I guess the main thing here is the law enforcement problem. I want to thank staff and the commission first for over the years working with us on this. Flounder quota and the way we've managed it has gone fairly well, considering the small quota we've had the last few years. Hopefully with this year, maybe an increase in the next quota will be helpful. But for now, industry feels like with the high cost of fuel, allowing the boats to be able to go and get two quotas, they're already doing it now and taking them to Carolina. It's penalizing the Virginia packers and the Virginia industry because we're getting fish that are two, three, 4 days older. So by allowing them to come in with that extra quota on board and pack the 10,000 pounds in Virginia and then be able to go to Carolina and pack their other 10,000 saves them a lot in fuel. The reason it saves them a lot in fuel, most of these fish are being caught up off of New York and New Jersey right now, not down here. It has been years since they've caught many flounder off the coast down here. As far as, you know, the enforcement part of it, I guess it's their job to be suspicious and try to catch people, but, you know, there's only seven docks, I think, that pack flounder in the state of Virginia right now. And four of them are within 500 or 600 yards of each other. So it's not, I wouldn't think, it's asking a lot for them to be able to check and watch the boats. As far as, I mean, the going to a 15-day period in the winter fishery, if we want to cut it back to 12, maybe meet halfway, that would probably work. And I guess that's about it. The scale issue, I know, I guess we'll talk about this at some other time, but, you know, Ernie, real quick, you're not going to pack your fish for somebody whose scale isn't right. We'd be out of business if our scales weren't right. You know, so, and in the past, weights and measures used to come when I was a kid all the time and do it. Now, I think if one of the officers would carry a 50-pound certified weight with him, he can check the scale. Because if weights and measures comes around and does the scale, somebody could change it before they come back in another month or whenever they come back. But, I mean, if a police officer can carry a radar gun and that's certified, all you need is a 50-pound weight.
Well, I think we're going to work with helping assist ensure that the scales are certified. I don't think that's the issue.
Yeah.
The issue is when it goes to court, what that piece of paper says on it, that this has been certified, weighed on a certified scale, and when the court can look at that document and see that it's been on a certified scale, the lawyer can't say, well, Your Honor, guess what? There's no traceable to the Bureau of Standards that this is an accurate weight, so therefore he doesn't know what the weight is. That's what the real concern is.
Well, we'll address that at another time, I'm sure.
Sure, absolutely.
So,
let me ask you this question, Mead. What about, and there is a shortage in law enforcement. It's pretty evident that the budget situation is what it is. We're in, without a doubt, and this is no kidding, one of the most difficult budget times that I've seen in 16 years at Marine Resources Commission. We are, in fact, kind of watching vacancies now because we don't know what's coming down the pipe as far as budget projections are concerned. We're shorthanded. With a lot of different things going on, crab fishery, things like that, oysters. So the manpower shortage is dire. There's no doubt about that. What about shortening the hours of packing? Would y'all, I mean, I'm going to ask Colonel Rhodes at the end of it what his position is on it, but.
Well, that would certainly be an option. We have to call in before we pack a boat
right.
Anyway. And we're only talking about when Virginia and North Carolina overlap. And so you're maybe talking one trip or two at the most in the month of December. And then maybe when we open up in at the end of February, maybe one or two trips then. That would really be, it's not the whole season. It's just when we overlap with Carolina. And the reason...
12, how many days were we talking about just a minute ago in compromise? As far as what Meade was saying?
Well, staff's recommending 15. There is the captains were writing in asking for it just to be 10. And so
okay.
Either way.
We're just thinking the more you spread it out,
right.
The more value you get for it.
Right.
The one or two times when you do overlap with Carolina, the general price is lower. So if you can have two quotas on board, save that extra fuel, that certainly helps out. That's what we're thinking there.
And if we catch you cheating, what do?
I don't. That's a good question. I don't know. Make it tougher, like you said. You know, if there are not that many people out there that do it, if they do it, take their license.
Okay.
Then you won't have to worry about them cheating again.
You sure won't. Questions, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A follow-up question for Mr. Amory. If we were, as Commissioner Bowman suggested, to consider an alternative time frame for offloading and inspections to reduce that administrative burden on the commission. What hours do you think would be acceptable?
We set up right now 7 to 6 or
7 to 10, yeah.
7 to 10. Well, nobody much packs after 6 or 7 at night anyway. The main thing is you call in the morning, the boats are there in the morning. You know, if they get there if you don't start packing before 5 o'clock, if you already started, you can finish that boat. But if you haven't started packing before 5, pack them the next day.
Okay.
That's not that big a deal. You're trying to spread the quota out anyway, so right. That wouldn't hurt much.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Further comments? Colonel Rhodes?
What's your position, sir?
Position is if they could pack from 7 till 6 in the evening, that would greatly help our effort due to the manpower shortage. As far as the scales, we've had numerous cases dismissed in court just because there's no provision that the packers have to be certified.
Okay. Questions of Colonel Rhodes? Thank you, Colonel. Public hearings closed. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Bowden?
Yeah, I want to make a few comments. You commented about the state budget problem. I can only tell you that the state budget per capita is in a lot better shape than the waterman's budget. So, you know, we have a shortfall about $300 a person in the state on our budget shortfall right now, and they don't even come close to filling up a tank of fuel on a small vessel, not alone something 80 or 90 feet. I think with the reduced hours, law enforcement should be able to accomplish it. Anything we can do to help out, you know, fuel has come down some, but it's still $4.
I think it's going to go back up.
And I'm afraid it's going to go back up probably within a week. But, you know, we may have a hurricane named Kyle, you know, that'd be.
Mm.
But, you know, I'm supportive of what needs to ask for. And as a compromise, we could go to 12 days instead of 15, if that would help staff any. If they think that 2 days would help them some, and if not, we could just maintain the 10 days.
Whether it's 12 or 15, it won't make as much impact on staff's operations.
So the 10 days would be fine?
10 days would be fine if it stays as is, or if you go to 15 as the industry requested, or 12, or find the compromise because of the captain's request at 10. I mean, either way, it's not going to impact our staff.
Mr. Bowden.
Okay, I have a question for me. Are you still supportive of the 15 days, or would you rather have the 10 or the 12? You're the one put the 12 on the table.
Right. I think 12 would be fine. The industry would be happy.
That would be the one you would support out of the three.
Yes, sir. That starts the last Monday.
For the record, that was Meade Amory, and he says he supports 12 days, Kathy.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Mr. Bowden?
I'd like to hear further discussion.
Further discussion?
The expert in the field.
No further discussion.
No.
I make a motion that we do take the industry's recommendation, and we're going to discuss the certified scale problem next month. That will not be part of this. No. And we move it from 10 days to 12 days landing period.
Yeah, right.
With the current trip limits.
And offloading hours of?
Offloading hours will be changed from?
To 7 to 6.
7 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion? I'm sorry?
We want to make sure we understand what you're adopting, because the regulation that was drafted and put before you still keeps the possession limit at the 10,000 or 12,500 pounds. So the industry recommendation was to do away with the possession limit. That means a vessel can now come in with an unlimited quantity of flounder in the hold. Well, we would assume you want to put some limit on what can be offloaded.
That's correct. Thank
you. The problem, there's only one problem in that, and this is the way I suggest we're going to have to. You know, North Carolina works through proclamation. They can change their landing limit at any time they want.
Right.
So my suggestion would be you could have no more than twice Virginia's landing limit aboard any vessel. But you can only land legally Virginia's landing limit.
You can only offload
one landing limit, but you can have no more than two of Virginia's.
Can only have on board double the possession limit.
Double the possession limit while in Virginia.
What we call possession limit now. And offload one half of that.
I mean, you know, we're taking a chance, and I know that probably some people may feel differently, and one stood up, so I'm sure he did. We can't have a regulation that changes daily with the whims of North Carolina. We have to have something that's enforceable, and I feel like this would be something that was enforceable. So that's the reason I'm suggesting that. And I would like to hear Mr. Amy's comment if he has one.
Can you come up, Nate, so it's on the record, please?
The possession limit, if we can eliminate the possession limit or just have a no more than double what the Virginia possession limit is, it's important that we limit the landings to no more than once in any consecutive five-day period. We don't want boats to be able to come in at the end of a 10-day period, unload 10,000, go back out the mouth of the bay, be back in the next morning with another 10,000.
Right.
That is not with the intent here. So by putting that stipulation in there, we'll prevent that from happening, flooding the market.
And that was part of industry's recommendation.
Right, I just want to make sure.
Thanks, Mead.
I do apologize for the oversight. That's something that will have to be included in this regulation.
Sir, if I may. One issue is enforceability. Even in writing it and such, it's basically saying open possession because there's no way to enforce what's in the hold unless you're going to remove every fish down in that hold and weigh it also. There's, I just wanted to point that out, it's basically what you're writing is an open possession limit on the vessel.
Basically, every law in the United States is enforced through example. And if law enforcement looks down in that hole and you unload 125 boxes, and you can certainly estimate, I mean, you're not going to be to the penny. But if I were looking at that hole and I said, he's got a whole lot more left in there than what we took off, there may be a possibility of unloading this fish and weighing them. I think you need to keep that threat over top people's head. If you do away with the possession limit whatsoever, I don't think you have as much of a... You'll have people who will push the limit, and this way you'll have a way of enforcing it if necessary. I think 99% of the people are going to do right, and I think 99% of people do right every occasion, but you have that 1% that won't. And this will give law enforcement a tool. If they think something is extravagant, they can do something about it.
So what you're saying, upon demand of the law enforcement officer, they shall offload the remainder to determine if they're in excess of the possession limit?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Second to the motion?
I'll second the motion.
No, Mr. Packard's already seconded. This is an amendment.
Yeah, I will go with that amendment. I wouldn't mind hearing from Mr. Rhodes to see what he thinks of that. I see him. I can see he's thinking over there for sure. Smoke's coming out.
That's quite a chore just to unload the rest of the vessel to determine if there's a possibility.
But you won't be doing it.
Yes.
You can direct Packer, that'll be part of it. If you believe it is, they offload it. It's just like the scales. If you're within 10 miles of scales and the trooper thinks you're overloaded, guess what? You're going to the scales, whether you want to or not.
Okay, with that.
Because I'm hoping we won't have to do any of this. This is all preventive measures. Everybody plays right. I'm hoping that that's what happens because if we have a problem and it gets to the point where the quota is mismanaged, all of these nice things that we're trying to do are going to become problematic, and we'll have to basically do something differently.
And this is a fisher that's under very heavy scrutiny by the federal government.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, I abstain.
Thank you, Mr. Robbins.